Manx Radio's update with Beth Espy.
Well, Fastamai, good evening. Welcome to Update. It's just gone five, and you know what? It's light outside. Spring is in the air, if it's a little bit cold still. Coming up before 5.30, with a bus strike on the horizon, the DIY minister says he's eager to get talks back on track and avoid disruption for passengers. We'll have more in a couple of minutes on that. Just how independent is Manx care in practice? A Tymal committee has been putting that question to its chief executive. We'll also hear about that King Ori statue, which is planned for St John's, and patients using the Island Speech and Language Therapy Service are being given new tools and technology to help them find their voice. All that, the weather, the traffic and the travel. And as ever, if you'd like to get in touch and comment on any of our stories, you can email studio@manxradio.com. We'll start with a roundup of the main news headlines with Darren Fastamai.
Fastamai. The infrastructure minister has pleaded to unite the union following plans for a 10-day strike from bus drivers.
Please, can we get back round the table as soon as possible, not wait for the 24th if that's the next meeting, and try and resolve this. You know, this is really important to everybody that uses the bus services, the drivers, you know, people who own businesses, because obviously it'll affect those, people that are going to hospital for appointments and so on, and obviously the schools as well.
Tim Cruckle says meetings have been ongoing and he'd like to get involved in them to explore the options and resolve the issues. 150 firearms were handed over to Manx Police during a recent amnesty, among them a deactivated AK-47, two Uzi submachine guns, a double-barreled shotgun, air rifles and pistols. And the mountain road is expected to stay closed until Monday with fresh yellow weather warning issued. Ronald's Way Met Office has confirmed that a warning for frost and ice will come into effect at 5pm tonight until 12pm tomorrow. In international news, two men have been jailed for a combined 63 years for plotting what police believe could have been Britain's deadliest ever terror attack, a shooting on a mass gathering of Jews in Manchester. Assistant Chief Constable Rob Pott spoke outside Preston Crown Court.
Waleed Sadawi and Omar Hussain intended to target members of the Jewish community in an evil act born out of hatred.
For the first time, those who want to buy weight loss jabs can do so on the high street. Boots is offering customers an in-store service. And Team GB are still searching for their first medal at the Winter Olympics after defeats for their curlers. The men lost 9-7 to host Italy, but still remain well-placed to reach the semi-finals, while the women's team were beaten 9-3 by South Korea. Those are the headlines. News next at 6.
Thank you very much indeed, Darren. So the weather in full then, brought to us by Manx Glass and Glazing. And as Darren mentioned, there's that yellow weather warning coming to a force just around now. That's for frost and ice. So there are going to be clear skies and light winds tonight. Ground temperatures will quickly fall below zero around dusk. That will lead to a widespread frost with ice forming on any untreated surfaces. And they are still going to be quite wet, aren't they, from the earlier rain, which was just horrific earlier this morning. Also risks a few showers may develop overnight, so they might be wintry in places, particularly over higher ground, which brings us to our next weather warning, which comes into force at 7. It's until 6 tomorrow morning, and that is for snow and sleet. And that rain will fall as sleet over higher ground before turning back to rain later in the night. Accumulations may be around 1 to 5 centimetres above around 500 feet, with the risk of up to 10 centimetres on the highest hills. If we just look at the general forecast then, so still dry, as we say, with clear spells this evening. Then tomorrow a cold start, but otherwise dry and sunny, turning cloudy later on in the day though. There will be more rain, if you've missed it, arriving tomorrow evening. That again is going to fall as snow or sleet on the hills initially. It'll turn back to rain later in the night. Quite strong winds as well. They will possibly be gale force in places overnight tomorrow, and top temperatures around 6. And if you think about Sunday, any football matches or anything like that, the rain will clear before dawn, leaving sunny intervals and scattered blustery showers with strong winds. So a little bit of everything, eh?
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674573 or visit the showroom on the Snugbra Trading Estate.
It's coming up to 5 past 5. Well, the door is still open for Unite and the Infrastructure Department to meet and resolve matters ahead of that planned 10-day strike for bus drivers. So that comes from the Minister, Tim Cruckle, who says meetings have been taking place between both bodies ahead of that planned action from Saturday next week. Yesterday, the trade union Unite confirmed the strike action. They also accused the DOI of failing to resolve a long-running dispute with bus drivers. While speaking live on Breakfast this morning, the Minister, Mr Crookall, said it wasn't known how the island would be impacted by next week's planned action.
There's several options on the table. The door is still open to talking. Say there was a meeting yesterday, there was another one penciled in for the 24th. But the unions feel part of that is the terms and conditions are not on the table. This is about finances rather than terms and conditions. So, but we're, yes, absolutely still open to make yourselves available for any meetings.
Because Unite says drivers have remained engaged and that opportunities to settle were there but not taken. So are you saying that's not a fair characterisation?
From what I understand, and obviously I'm not long in, back in the department, but yeah, we are absolutely available to make the meeting dates and continue negotiations. And MERS are involved and still staying involved as far as I know.
Obviously, some people might say that industrial action of any sort represents a failure of leadership and ultimately a failure of government stewardship of a public service. Do you accept any responsibility for the situation reaching this point?
Well, no, I don't. And because I'm saying that, because there's obviously leadership on both sides and both sides are trying to resolve this still. So I'm hoping we'll get back round the table, even as quick as Monday, if you like. It probably won't happen today, unless yesterday's meeting is still ongoing. Because, as I say, I've not had anything feedback from yesterday. So that could be that they're going back into that. I don't honestly don't know. But, we're still, and both sides and MERS are willing to meet and try and resolve this issue.
Well, it's been 2 months since Unite members voted in favour of this action, and it would appear, obviously, a resolution still hasn't been met. So, 2 months, that's a fairly long time. Why has it been going on for so long?
I just assume, Ben, that, in between time, between then and now, that meetings haven't happened. I don't know that, but, there was a meeting yesterday. Whether anything's happened in those 2 months, I guess there's been emails flying around and unions will have been meeting with MERS maybe and whatever, but say, please, can we get... I'm asking now, please, can we get back round the table as soon as possible, not wait for the 24th if that's the next meeting, and try and resolve this. This is really important to everybody that uses the bus services, the drivers, people who own businesses, because obviously it'll affect those. People are going to hospital for appointments and so on, and obviously the schools as well.
That's the DOI Minister Tim Crookall, questioned by Ben and Christian on Breakfast this morning. You can find a full report on the Manx Radio website. We should say as well, we have invited the Trade Union Unite to speak to us too. 7 minutes past five. So how arm's length is Manx Care? So the organisation was created 5 years ago to take over from the DHSC as provider of health services. And as we know, that was following a review by the former NHS Foundation Trust Chief Executive, Sir Jonathan Michael, in 2019. At the end of last year, a separate report by the Mersey Internal Audit Agency found that the current health and social care model on the Isle of Man wasn't operating as well as originally intended. And that question has been asked again now as a Tynwald Select Committee assessing the efficacy of the island's whistleblowing laws wants to find out how independent Manx Care's policies are in that area. Here's CEO Theresa Cope being questioned by Committee Chair Julie Edge.
You're classified as a arm's length organisation, but you've got access to all of the centralised services to do your operations. So is there anything that, because of your experience being arm's length, but then the Manx public paying for all of your other services, like your legal and OHR, is there anything that you could say you'd like to see improved?
But I don't think we operate in that way. I would argue we are only partially arm's length. We work incredibly close with all of the government departments. Just by the fact that we are mandated to use HR services, the financial advisory service provide our accountancy service, GTS provide our technology services, we are still very much interwoven with government because of the vast number of our support services which we are mandated to use from government. So I would probably think our processes do not look very different from any other government department. I think our uniqueness is that we sit in a health and care sector whereby it's really important for us to have multiple opportunities for people to raise their concerns and have them addressed promptly at the lowest possible level.
And just to pick up on one thing that you said earlier, when we were talking about independent advice, you can go straight outside independently. I don't think that exists for other government departments.
So if we was to want to seek independent legal advice, we would have to have the express permission of the Attorney General's Chamber in order to do that, in the same way as I think any other department would need to. So I do feel those same rules and controls apply.
That is the CEO of Manx Care, Teresa Cope, speaking to Tim Ward's Select Committee Chair, Julie Edge, on the subject of whistleblowing.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
Now, a 34-year-old man has been committed to the Court of General Jail Delivery for sentence after admitting assaulting a police officer. Christian was in court and is with me now. So, Christian, what happened?
Yeah, so Stephen Binding, who is currently in custody at the Isle of Man prison, appeared before magistrates charged with actual bodily harm, criminal damage and possession of cannabis, all relating to an incident in October 2025. The cannabis charge was dismissed due to a lack of evidence, but he pleaded guilty to the other two offences. Now, police had been called to Tremode House. They arrested Binding, taking him back to the police station where he was formally charged. As that was happening, the court was told, he said, "I'm really going to kick off," and then before gouging at the officer's eyes, headbutting them, striking them to the face. The officer tried to defend themselves and used Parva spray. The criminal damage charge related to the officer's glasses being broken during that altercation, and the whole incident was captured on CCTV.
Was the officer injured?
So we heard about medical evidence which suggested the officer sustained an elbow injury involving a bone fragment. When later explaining his actions, Binding told police, "Someone called the police on me for a bit of weed. If I'm going back to Jerby, I might as well make it worthwhile."
And so what's going to happen next then?
So the prosecution asked magistrates to send the case to the Court of General Jail Delivery because of the seriousness of the offences against an emergency services worker. Magistrates agreed and Binding has been remanded in custody until the 20th of February.
Thank you, Christian. Now, an appeal against plans for an illuminated statue of King Ori beside Tynwald Hill has been heard. Lewis is with me now. Fastamai Lewis, just tell us first, what was discussed here?
So Fastamai, yeah, it was a detailed and at times highly technical hearing. The appeal has been brought by Manx National Heritage after the planning committee approved the sculpture despite a planning officer initially recommending refusal. The proposal, which was submitted personally by Lawrence Skelly, who, if you're unaware, is the president of Tynwald, would see a nearly 3 metre tall statue of Godred Crovan, also known as King Ori, placed on a verge next to Tynwald Hill. It would be privately funded and supporters say designed to highlight the island's Norse heritage and the origins of Tynwald.
So why is it being challenged then?
Well, Manx National Heritage argues the statue would harm the setting of the hill. Their representative described the site as an open and largely unchanged ceremonial landscape and believe a structure of that size could distract from the hill itself. There were also archaeological concerns. MNH questioned whether enough investigation has been done to rule out the presence of significant remains beneath the proposed footprint. But supporters say the artwork would enhance public understanding and that any archaeological issues could potentially be managed through planning conditions.
Now, as you say, it was a very technical hearing. You can see the full details on the Manx Radio website. But Lewis, what happens now?
Well, an independent inspector will now prepare a report with a recommendation. The final decision, however, rests with the Environment, Food and Agriculture Minister, who will determine whether the statue can go ahead.
Lewis, thank you very much indeed.
Manx Radio Travel, serviced by Quayside Tyres.
So generally, quite a bit of the work around the island had been scheduled to finish today. So the main thing to look out for tonight is the fact that the mountain road is still shut. It was due to open around 4:30. It's now expected to stay closed until Monday. We were hearing about that fresh yellow weather warning. Ronald's Way have confirmed that that warning for frost and ice will come into effect until 7 o'clock tomorrow morning. Temperatures due to fall below zero, so it is going to freeze in certain areas. So the warning set to lift around midday tomorrow. Also a risk of wintry showers overnight, so the mountain road is still closed. It may change over the weekend. Obviously, we'll keep you up to date with what's happening. The airport, everything looking good down there and at the steam packet as well. The Manxman's due into Douglas at around about 5:30, heading out for Heysham again at 7:15.
Manx Radio Travel, serviced by Quayside Tyres. Call Quayside Tyres on 664417 to book your free vehicles winter check so your vehicle is safe for you and other road users.
It's coming up to 5:15 here on Update. Now, patients with the Isle of Man Speech and Language Therapy Service have been granted new ways of communication thanks to the purchasing of new iPads. So the tablets, along with specialist software, have been provided thanks to a grant of £33,000 from the Henry Bloom Noble Healthcare Trust. Clinical lead Duncan Brown and children's speech and language therapist Zoe Appleby and Katrina Dorian showed Lewis how the technology actually works.
This is called Aphasia Duo. It's a picture-based communication app, and we tend to use this with people that might have had a stroke, and we use it in the early stages of their stroke where they want to express their needs. And this allows people to express, if they're frustrated, they can use this to get their message across. So for example, if somebody wanted to talk about their mental health, I can just press on the icon that says mental health.
Mental health.
And then we could use something called self-talk.
Self-talk.
And here we've got a number of icons, one of which says this.
I miss my old life.
Now that's quite important for somebody to talk about their background and things that they are missing. It's not only about the medical needs, it's also about the feelings that they want to express.
So Zoe and Katrina then, we'll come to you. The app on your screen that you've got here looks slightly different. We're talking about children and young people using this, aren't we?
Yep. So the app we've got here is called Grid, and there are different vocabularies you can set it up with. So we've got it set up with the children's vocabulary. So it's got lots of vocabulary to do with play and things like toileting and daily living that would be really important for children. This is one I use quite often in my therapy sessions, which is...
I want to play something. Bubbles.
Bubbles. So then it takes us to a page that's programmed with lots of different phrases or words to do with a situation. So this one is the bubbles page. So we've got things like...
Bubbles. Let's do it again. Help me.
So you can see the sort of things that we might want to talk about in the apps are quite different, but there are all sorts of things that we can talk about. There's play, but there's also the children can express if something's wrong. So...
With my body.
And we can say...
Something hurts.
So you can see for children who are struggling to communicate, it's so important that they've got a way to express these things.
We work with a range of ages. So in the early years, we'll work with children who are just learning to develop their communication skills, and an app like this is great for that as well. But we also work with anyone up to teenage years, so teenagers with learning disabilities or teenagers in mainstream schools that need support to communicate using a voice output. The great thing about the apps that we got from the Henry Bloom Noble Trust is that they are what we call robust, so they can develop as the child's language develops, as the young person's language develops. And we know lots of adults with learning disabilities also use these, so what we're hoping is with the people that we work with, the young people, once they go into adult services, they will have experience of using this as well.
That is Katrina Dorian, Zoe Appleby and Duncan Brown from the Speech and Language Therapy Service. They again find out more on the Manx Radio website. So following a narrow home victory last weekend, FC Isle of Man's caretaker manager says he's looking forward to the prospect of his side's trip to Barnoldswick Town in the NWCFL Premier Division tomorrow afternoon. Speaking to the club's media, Rick Holden says their latest trip takes him to an area he knows well, while also mentioning that this time of year stirs fond memories of his own playing career.
It's more or less back home for me in that part of Yorkshire. Well, they're in Lancashire. It's originally a Yorkshire town. It's only 6 miles or so from where I was born in Skipton and grew up. I expect to see a lot of old faces, to be honest, because they'll know I'm coming. What sort of reception I'll get, I don't know, but plenty of ammunition for them. So I'm looking forward to it, going back to the old country to see what they're... And I played there years ago when they were Barnoldswick United, and I went to grammar school with a lot of those lads. They'll be their sons and grandsons now, some of them, but it's a good part of the world. I like Barnoldswick, Barlick as they like to call themselves. So I'm looking forward to that trip, and we'll go there. And they impressed me when it was my first game back, for Ravens, and they look quite an accomplished team, but they've had a bit of a bad time of it since. So we'll go there and give them a real go, because we want to win that game, and obviously if we can grab a few more points there. I mean, it's one of my favourite days, actually, Valentine's, in my life, because it'll always remain with me, Valentine's, because we beat West Ham 6-0 at Oldham, semi-final of the League Cup in 1990. I scored one, created a couple, so that's 6-0. A record for a semi-final in a League Cup. But Valentine's will always have a special place for me because of that.
That's Rick Holden. Barnoldswick Town versus FC Isle of Man kicks off tomorrow at the Silent Night Stadium at 3 p.m. Well, Powerlifting Isle of Man is hoping its move to a new designated centre will drive more people to the sport. The organisation used to be based at Revolution Gym in Castletown, but will soon be setting up in the former Experience Building on Summer Hill in Douglas. Deputy Director of Operations Liz Young has been talking to Darren.
Some people just found that the trek out to Castletown has been a little bit challenging for them. Obviously, everyone lives super busy lives now, and just to take that extra time to travel down has been a bit of a barrier. We've been out in schools trying to develop our youth powerlifting program, and we find that some kids have said to us that just trying to get to Castletown, obviously they don't drive, has been a barrier for them. So we're really hoping that having a central location is really going to help with that.
And what is the interest from kids when it comes to powerlifting? Do they...
It's been mixed, but the schools are really, really supportive. Mm. So a lot of the schools now have quite well-equipped gyms. We found that the staff in the schools are very supportive. The focus for kids now has been more about being strong and looking after their health. And if they have other sports that they take part in, that building strength can really support that.
Mm. And for people who don't necessarily know too much about powerlifting, what kind of equipment do you need? How will you be looking to, I suppose, renovate the space that was, I think, a former restaurant?
Yeah, it was, yeah. So if you're carrying out powerlifting, the specialised equipment that you need, it's not excessive, but it can be expensive if you're trying to kit out a whole new space. So you would need a platform. So that's made from wood. Platform where the lifts are carried out. You'd need specialist barbells and calibrated plates. So, you know, plates that you have in the gym, but these are ones that are calibrated to be very specific weights. We also need a competition rack. So that is where the barbell rests when you're squatting or when you're benching.
That's Deputy Director of Operations at Powerlifting Isle of Man, Liz Young, talking to Darren. Well, some other news that you might have missed this week is the fact that the Isle of Man's hyperbaric chamber facility has received two oxygen therapy boots. This is to treat medical conditions specific to the leg. They can be used at home, and that means patients don't have to travel to the charity to use the chamber. Darren's been out and about again, talking to former nurse Samantha Cork and vice chair of the facility, Ken Kinraid.
It's not a new therapy. It's been out now in America for over 15 years, and they've treated over 35,000 patients. As I said earlier, it's very highly researched, so there's a lot of clinical evidence, which is why NICE awarded this therapy to be used in conjunction for patients that can't respond to treatment. The average person would be using this for up to 12 weeks, and the therapy recommended is for 90 minutes a day, 5 days a week, and that's based on all the research that's been carried out over the years to work out what is the right amount of hours a person needs. But they can absolutely do more hours if that can fit in, and they can fit it around their normal day to day, so they don't have to do the whole 90 minutes in one fell swoop. They could do some of the treatment in the morning, and they could do some treatment again in the evening, so they could fit it around their day-to-day lifestyle.
Ken is the vice chairman for the hyperbaric chamber. He explained why the facility brought the new equipment in.
We found this product too, which is for topical oxygen, which people can use in their own homes. They don't have to come into the chamber, but if they do wish, they don't wish to use it at home, the option will be for them to come into the facility as well. We've had one patient who's completed 16 weeks of treatment, and I think he said something like, I believe that my ulcers would never have healed without two. And they have gone from a very painful, immobile state to fully mobile with no pain. And it's remarkable, I have to say.
And do people have to pay for it themselves, or is it paid for them?
The Henry Bloom Noble Trust has paid for everything for these patients, for this number of patients that we have at the moment.
That is Ken Kinraid talking to Darren. Before that, we heard from nurse Samantha Cork, or former nurse who now works with the hyperbaric chamber. And just finally, it is World Radio Day, and here on Manx Radio we've marked the occasion with a special edition of Island Life, in which we took a look at a day in the life of our very own Ben Hartley.
You know, look at when we had the COVID lockdowns, you know, so many people turned to Manx Radio because we were the only media outlet streaming the COVID media briefings from the government in the old-fashioned analogue way on the radio. Lots of outlets were doing it on Facebook or whatever, but you needed an internet connection for that, you know, and if that wasn't working or you didn't have the internet, you know, we still provided that old-fashioned contact, and a snow day is a great example of Manx Radio coming into its own or any bad weather day, as we've all seen in the last couple of months. You know, everybody, I think, still turns to Manx Radio for a snow day, even though there's so many ways to get all that crucial information now. I think people still like to hear it sort of from the horse's mouth, as it were, somebody giving you that information of the schools. Shut, are they open? Is the mountain road closed because of the snow? What's happening at the airport? I still think we play a really, really crucial role, and long, long may local radio continue.
That was Ben Hartley, and you can hear much more from that. Honestly, it's a fascinating discussion. Ben talks a little bit about his own background and how he got started. You can find A Day in the Life Of as a podcast on the Manx Radio website. Somebody else who's very interesting, and he's looking at me with a bit of a wry smile, but sport is brought to us by The Print Shed and our very own Rob Pritchard.
Fast MI, first off, after fixtures in the competition were heavily disrupted by poor weather 6 days ago, there'll be hopes fixtures in the ECAP FA Cup first round proper in Manx football can take place this weekend. Just one tie in the tournament was able to go ahead last Saturday, with four of the remaining seven matches now penciled in for tomorrow. Among the scheduled contests are Dernan Drug Unlimited Division 2 title contenders Castletown will host current Canada Life Men's Premier League frontrunners Corinthians. Meanwhile, there's just the one Canada Life Men's Premier League clash, which will involve a Northern showdown, as Ayr United are due to host Ramsey. You can view all of this weekend's Isle of Man football fixtures, as well as details of some postponements this weekend, over at manxradio.com. Elsewhere, there's a double hell of Manx rugby on the cards here on Ireland this weekend. In Counties 3, ADM Lancashire and Cheshire, the league has now split, with both Ramsey and Vagabonds competing in what is known as the Minor Conference League, involving the bottom seven teams in the division. It's Ramsey who are in action tomorrow in that division when they host Duckenfield at Morag Park at 1:30 p.m. Elsewhere, the Hartford Homes Manx Cup is back on Saturday with a meeting of two rivals, as Douglas Celts welcome Vagabonds to Portishead at 1 p.m. In cycling, it's been another challenging day for Manx rider Becky Story and the Team Picnic PostNL team on the Semana Ciclista Valenciana in Spain. Neither Story or her teammates were able to break into the top 10 this time around, but there was another story elsewhere, as the stage was won by upcoming British talent Kat Ferguson. And in hockey, there's a busy schedule to come tomorrow, both on and off Ireland. On Saturday, two Isle of Man national teams take on their latest respective tests in the England Hockey Championships. The Isle of Man Ladies A head across the water to face Newcastle University Ladies Seconds in the second round of the EH Women's Tier 2 plate at 1:30 p.m. on Saturday. And also heading to the northeast are the Isle of Man Men's B squad. They're facing Stockton Men's second 11 in the third round of the EH Men's Tier 3 Vars tomorrow evening at 6:30 p.m. Elsewhere, league action returns locally on Saturday, and you can find details on all of the local hockey fixtures this weekend on our website.
Thank you very much indeed, Rob, who's now going to hot-foot it to the next studio to bring you the Friday Sport Preview, giving you all the details of what's happening this weekend. Just want to say Andy has sent the most amazing photograph of a sunset. I think it's down at Fenella Beach in Peel. I'm going to check and see whether we can share that on our social media, because it's just glorious. After Rob, it's Chris Kinley at 6:30, then it's Sweet and Swing with Howard at 9, and Ree will be with you from 10 with After Hours. Keep an eye on our socials and our news page for any weather details over the weekend, and have a good one. We'll be back on Monday.